Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Foods & Inn's Q1 FY24 conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Milan Dalal, the Managing Director at Foods & Inns Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Greetings to my fellow shareholders, analysts, well-wishers, and prospective shareholders. Our last call was on May 18, 2023. As the Managing Director, I would like to start with the announcement of another quarter of progressive growth ending June 30, 2023, and would like to once again dedicate the same to my entire team led by Mr. Mulloy Sah, our CEO, Mr. Anand Krishnan, our CFO, and many more in the team at various levels at the corporate office and at our production facilities. And needless to mention, we are ably guided by our chairman, Sri Bhupendra Dalal. While most of you are aware of the business verticals of Foods & Inns, I will quickly take you through this quarter's achievements. Food processing. Primarily, we process mangoes. Our company produced additional varieties this year, and very happy to say we achieved a record production. We primarily cater to the juice manufacturers in India and in international markets. Logically, the concern and our anticipation is on tomatoes, the new gold. Let me clarify that while we have witnessed tremendous growth and that we continue to get encouraging inquiries for domestic and international companies, the production of tomato processing will only start in the month of October. We expect the prices to stabilize by then, and also most of our contracts would be on cost plus basis. Happy to announce that we shall be ramping up our production facility of tomatoes in this financial year, and not only cater to juice manufacturers but multiple FMCGs for many other products. We will continue to achieve incremental volumes. Next is our spray drying unit with the new capacity going on stream. We have broad-based our product mix and the audit process with the brands are currently on. The new technology is giving us cost-effective edge in the market. As far as the food, frozen food division is concerned, our new facility at Wankhede in Gujarat has been commissioned recently, which will be beneficial to process fruits and vegetables at an optimum cost during peak season, which will give us an edge in this competitive market. Kusum spices, we have experienced strict control on pesticide residue in spices in the Gulf export market, which impacted our sales in Q1 financial year 2023-24. We have started mitigating this challenge through various initiatives like sourcing from pesticide compliant certified farmers. Also, we are targeting multiple new avenues in the export and domestic market to ensure growth in this segment. As far as our Tetra Gcart facility at Wankhede, Gujarat, it has been operationalized by end of March 2023, and for the current season, production under our brand name Madhu for mango amla was completed, and we have launched the same in the Gujarat market. Further launches going ahead would be under the ready-to-eat segment with 6 SKUs ranging from soups to curries by October 2023 under the brand name Green Crop. Having covered all the verticals, I have two other important aspects to be informed. One is that we had announced a fundraise for an opportunity that we were evaluating. However, the same has been deferred for now. Last but not the least, while I have given some insight on the journey of the company for the last 45 years and that of my co-promoter, since the last talk, Mrs. Pallavi Dupedia has resigned from the board of directors and also sent in a letter of de-promoterization of which the compliance process as per the regulation is being done. As for our estimate, the process will further take 90 to 100 days until we get the final approval. As already mentioned, the sale of shares by my co-promoter will have no impact on the working of the company, and that I will lead the matters of strengthening on all fronts required for the success of the company. With this, I would ask my team to, in case they want to add anything further, before we could start off with the Q&A session. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Anil Krishnan, the CFO at Foods and Inns Limited. Thank you for joining us, and I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants of our Q1 FY24 Investor Conference call. I have here with me our Managing Director, Mr. Milan Pillai, and our CEO, Mr. Munal Sagar. Each quarter is a chapter, a stepping stone towards our collective vision of success, and let me assure you the pages that we are about to turn hold promise of increase, growth and transformation. We hope that the strategic decision that we are taking as a team is shaping not just the future of our company, but the very landscape of our industry. Financial numbers alone can't capture the full essence of what we are doing as a team. It's the story behind those numbers that truly define our strengths and challenges. Stories of tireless teams working around the clock, of audacious ideas that dare to challenge the status quo, and of the resilient spirit that carried us through unforeseen storms. As we move ahead, we promise to take calculated risks, and as we celebrate our victories, we are also laying the groundwork for what comes next. We received our first claim under the PLI scheme for an amount of 9.71 crores for FY22, and we will be submitting our claims for FY23 soon. I hope all of you had the opportunity to go through our published results and the initial notes shared on the stock exchanges. We are extremely thrilled to post strong set of numbers once again. Domestic demand was slightly weak in Q1 of FY24 due to unseasonal rains in the north. But we see demand regaining ground as we speak and have touched more than 40% mango pulp than what we did in the same season last year. Tomato pulp demand is showing promising signs, and we are planning to put up a concentrate plan to cater to the demand. Our second project, JV Beyond Mango, is slightly delayed due to a few machineries which have come in late, and we expect to launch it before the end of September 2023. As I come to the end of my opening remarks, I would like to thank each and every one of you for your unwavering support, unyielding trust, and your invaluable presence on this call. Now I request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you all may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sriram R., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is if you can give the market size of mango pulp in the country and the current market share, that would be helpful. And also, if you can give a split between, you know, the mango and the pickle, and what would that split be, let's say, 5 years from now, maybe 3 years?
We couldn't hear you clearly on the entire set of questions, but if I get your questions right partially, current market share is what you have actually asked. So it's slightly a tricky question for us to answer, but having said that, it's basically product-wise. So, I mean, Coca-Cola has a brand called as Maza, for which we almost supply, say, 50% or around somewhere between 40-50% of the requirement as well. And the other balance would actually serviced by a few other brands. For Pepsi, we service around 20% of the requirement at that as of today. So it's a slightly tricky question to guess what the market share is, but I can assure you that we are one of the largest along with a few other competitors in the market as such. Second, with respect to your mango and non-mango split question, 82% of our revenues actually came from mango pulping in FY23. The other pulp all put together, I think, was around 85 or 88%. So that's the mango and non-mango split. Ideally, as a business, we want to reduce the dependency on mango and want to reduce the percentage share to the total sales to somewhere around 50-60%. But then having said that, we see a lot of tailwinds for the mango pulping because of which the share is actually increasing. So if you go to see our numbers 4 years before, maybe 92% of our revenue used to come from mango. Now we have diversified to a lot of other pulps and a few other businesses, which has helped us get the share down.
And so on the margin side, can you just elaborate, like which one has a higher margin?
Most of the products actually have similar margins, but mango being the dominant share of our pulping business, we strategically take calls on a few other pricing that we actually do on a marginal cost basis as such. It's all what we can actually offer as a basket to the customers.
Okay, thank you. I'll join. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashutosh Garud from Ambit Wealth PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hey, hi. So, I just wanted some clarification because in your presentation, you mentioned that the tonnage is down by 21%, but yet we have seen a growth on the revenue. So, if you can explain the pricing and volume spread as far as the current revenue for the quarter is concerned. And also, in the opening commentary, you mentioned about some 40% growth in your volume. So, just wanted to understand how could we link this. So, were you talking about the current month or what exactly that 40% growth was?
Okay. Hi, this is Manoj Shah. So, Mr. Ashutosh, the first question you are having that we have mentioned that we have a reduction in the pulp tonnage for the Q1 is correct. There is a degrowth in the volume. One of the major reasons is that northern part of India having unseasonal rain, which affected the overall beverage industry in India this year for the first 3 months. However, we are able to get a 30% growth in the revenue. There are two reasons. One is that being an agricultural commodity, our price depends on the raw material of the particular season. In 2022 mango season, price was standard, meaning moderate price was there, and that product sold in Q1 of 2023, that means April to June 2022, whatever product is sold, it is processed and packed in mango season of 2022. Whereas in 2021, whatever we have produced, that price was little moderate and that product sold in April to June 2023. Whereas in 2023 mango season, we have seen a crop failure, especially in the southern variety, and the price, raw material price has almost doubled. So since we have a cost plus model, so our final product price also has doubled. So in current year Q1, whatever product we have sold, that has been processed in last year, and hence the realization is higher. So this is the one of the reasons. Second important is that we have some product mix changes, in the sense earlier we didn't have much exposure on tomato paste, but since 2 years we are starting tomato paste, we are really concentrating on the tomato processing, and this year in our Q1 substantial quantity also from the tomato, and tomato is having a high realizable value compared to other products like we sell chili, garlic, ginger, which are all low realizable value, whereas tomato is a very high realizable value. These are the two major reasons where you got a revenue growth of 30% in spite of tonnage reduction by 21%.
Okay, thanks for the explanation, sir.
Okay, and second is asked about the 40% what you talk. 40% is basically the higher production. Mango season is just over. It's from mid of April till 1st of August. During this year, we have produced 40% higher than last year. Now, this product likely to dispatch in next 12 to 15 months period, where we can see some good volume and which will be helping for the higher revenue. Hope it clarifies.
That is very, very helpful. So, just wanted a sense that, so mango as such being a perishable commodity, so how does this happen? Basically, you procure mango during the season, and then the production keeps happening, because I presume the produced finished goods has a much more shelf life. Would that be a fair assumption, and how much would that be? If you can throw some light on the cycle from raw material to finished goods.
Yeah. We buy raw material, as you rightly said, we buy raw mangoes, that is green mango, and then we took around 5 to 7 days for ripening process. There is a ripening process is taking place, and within 7 days we have to process mangoes and packed in an aseptically filled technological packaging or canned technology. There are two technologies available for the mango, which is having 24 month shelf life. So again, I'm highlighting raw mango which we bought, it has to process within 7 days after ripen, and then filled in a aseptically or can filled, which is having a 24 month shelf life.
So basically the raw mango, the production of pulp would happen only during these 3-4 months, is what,
yes,
I understand.
Yes, correct.
Oh. And sir, if I have more questions, I'll come back on the screen.
Thank you, Mr. Adhikar.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amit Gori from Investors. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My question is related to the announcement. I guess this was last year announcement wherein we were about to take a factory on lease from Andhra Pradesh government. So can you please give us any details on that? What's the current status on it?
Hi, this is Anand here. So last year we were in dialogue with the Andhra Pradesh government to take care of factory on lease, but the subsequently the government itself actually did not go through with the proposal as such. So as of now it's completely in abeyance.
Okay. And also, what are your B2C further plans? As we currently know the about in your earlier announcement regarding certain products, but if you can just throw a little light on 1 or 2 years perspective.
So, I mean, we have focused our entire strategy into 3 brands that we want to actually grow. One is the Kusum brand that we actually acquired in October of 2019. Second is the Green Top brand, wherein we are going to be selling our frozen pulp and frozen fruits and vegetables, as well as the Tetra recast based products, ready to eat, ready to cook products that we are going to be launching soon. So we have decided on 6 SKUs under the RTE segment, ready to cook segment as of now. And the third is basically Madhu brand. So Madhu is something that we've already launched this year under Jatra Rikas packaging, wherein the mango pulp is already in the shelves in the Gujarat market. The next 6 months, we will actually see a few other, say, tomato pulp and a few other things actually coming up there. So this is what we actually have in the B2C market. I'll just hand over the line to our CEO in case he has anything else to add.
We see a good response in our frozen category. We have launched around 7 or 8 months ago, and I think the market test is quite encouraging. We are getting lots of repeat orders, and we are now started focusing on this segment. We are mainly we are doing in Mumbai or New Mumbai region, but over a period of time we may extend that in the other states too. But good news that we are getting a good response on our frozen category.
Okay, great, great. Sir, if I can ask one last question, what is the status of the preference allotment, sir? We have read the announcement that the certain allotments have not come in, and what's the plan going forward?
So I think, not to confuse yourself, there was a fresh announcement which we discussed at our board to, come in with a capital raise. That's been deferred, but the previous issue of warrants, of which 30% was received in December of 2022, and the investors have the option available for a period of 18 months to subscribe. And they are in the process, some have started partially converting them into equity, and balance within a period of totally 18 months of the issue, which would be somewhere around June of 2024, we would expect them to subscribe.
Right, so the fresh announcement is for another warrant, you mean?
Which is being deployed. So nothing more is happening other than the previous warrant issue.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mini from Market Cord Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. So my question is, can you specify what factors related to a higher profit before tax, and which of them are one-off cases and which are more permanent in nature? And how has the PLI subsidy accounted in the books and being used?
So PBT is a factor of higher realization and the operating leverage that we actually got in the current quarter. That's number one. Having said that, our PBT will not be affected because most of our prices are passed through in nature, and pricing is generally on a gross margin per kg is what we try and target. So internally we had a margin test for even at the product that we sell. So PBT is going to be a function of the increased volume as well as the gross margin per kg that we are going to be realizing in the current quarter or the current year as such. There have been no one-off cases that we have actually had, and with respect to your last question on PLI, we received our sanction letter on the 7th of July 2023, and it's going to be accounted in Q2 of our results as such.
Okay, thanks. One last question before I come back. Can you talk more about the Tetra Recard capacity which has been operationalized and the utilization percentage? And have you got any external orders?
Okay, Tetra Recard is a good question. Thanks for this question. It's a very, very, we are really as a company excited on this product. We have started commercial run in the month of March. We have covered the mango season. We packed a good volume of mangoes, and recently we launched in Ahmedabad. Not even exactly in Ahmedabad, Baroda, Saurashtra, Ahmedabad, few region we have launched about 5 days before as a product called Amros. And so far the response quite good. People are liking the product. We are quite bullish on this. The next category what we are looking RTE, ready to eat. The packaging development is almost done. We are expecting the packaging in the month of September. So next launch will be, I think, sometime in mid-October or November will be the next. So total SKUs will be launching around, one is already done, another 6. So that is our own brand. Apart from that, we are also in active dialogue with few big brands to have a co-packing on their behalf. So the trial and the sampling process is on. This takes little time being a B2B, so we believe that in the entire process will take another 4-5 months. And packaging development also takes a couple of months. So I believe that we have some good sales or revenue in the Q4, that is January to March of 2024. And this is the period when you have to do all the trial, error, sampling. And from next financial year, I believe that we have a bigger chunk of share in this category. But the good part is that product compared with the retort. Retort is a technology which is already available in India for a long time. And the new technology is Tetra Retort. This product quality, taste, far, far better than the normal retort technology. So that's why we feel that it's a good market and the response is also quite good.
I would just like to add a couple of points here. The advantages of Tetra Retort is also that it's rectangular in shape, because of which it's 20% or 25% more efficient to store, whether it is in retail shelves or in transport containers as such. Secondly, 50 or 58% of its total materials which are actually used to pack Tetra Retort is recyclable. So both these are major advantages that we would actually have going forward as well. And not to mention the ease of opening a Tetra Retort as compared to ease of opening a tin can.
Got it. But can you talk about the percentage utilization of the capacity which you have done by using for your own brand?
As of now, it's not the right time for us to give you the capacity utilization of the same, because as you have said, we are doing a lot of tech marketing, as in a lot of R&D with respect to what the outdoor guys want and what we can actually produce. So maybe the next year onwards is the best time to actually give you an idea of what the capacity utilization can be.
Thanks. Last question. In the previous concourse, you talked about spectrum production, right?
Right.
Being higher realization. Can you talk more about in terms of what actually has been realized in terms of spectrum production?
So in my opening remark, I mentioned that Texan project was slightly delayed because of a few machineries which have not yet come in from our machine supplier. And we are expecting to start production of Texan by September. Having said that, this raw material season, we have already captured the raw material which is actually required for the manufacturing of Texan. And we think we should be able to manufacture that come September, October this year.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alisha Mahavala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So in the previous call, we were targeting for 25-30% volume growth for the current year. Q1 has not gone as per plan. Are we still sticking to hoping for 20% plus volume growth for this year?
Okay, hi, Mala here. Yes, you are correct. The previous call we had anticipated around 25% volume growth, but since we spoke, there are a lot of weather changes, weather pattern changes, so beverage industry not growing as expected, but when you are speaking to the brands, since they have expanded their capacity, we are quite hopeful that in next 9 months time or 8 months time, we will be able to recover substantially. As of today, it is very difficult for us to say what will be our volume growth, but we are quite confident that we will be able to make up in next 8 months period.
Alisha, I would like to add something here, wherein the contracts which are signed with our largest brands basically are always honored. It's a question of when the call-out actually happens. So whatever they have committed for will be definitely taken up. It's just a matter of which quarter it will be taken up. That's how it is.
Okay, understood. And how are the prices of mangoes this year versus last year? Because last year there was a crop failure, like you mentioned. So how is the season been this year in terms of cultivation, harvest, or pricing?
Mango pricing this year, if you know the varieties of mango. One of the major variety which is very premium variety called Alfonso. Alfonso this year is Ratnagiri region, that is Konkan region, top sale. So that puts lot of pressure in the other market, like Gujarat is a big Alfonso market, as well as Bangalore also some Alfonso available. So hence overall price on raw material has gone up by almost 18% to 20% on the Alfonso. Whereas other varieties which is basically cover the volume, Totapuri is one of the major varieties which all the industry is processing. That has bumper crop, you can say, and price is almost half now compared to last year. So these are the mix. So in the Alfonso product, we have a higher realization. So in the Totapuri, we have a lower realization compared to last year. That we will, our cost structure is cost plus model. So hence, there's no risk for us whether price go up or price go down, margin protected.
Understood. And for our, in our mango pulp business, what would be the mix of Totapuri and Alfonso mango be?
Okay, in the volume wise, Totapuri contributes more than 60%. And whereas if you see the value, Alfonso is a high value item, it contributes more than 30% of the value. Whereas Totapuri, the volume is 60%, the value comes around 40%.
Understood. And what is our current capacity on the pulp side, and is there any capacity expansion that we've done or we plan to do?
We, in a year, we generally process around 300,000 metric tons of fruits and vegetables. This is including our own in-house production as well as contract manufacturing. There are some capacity expansion exercises going on, especially on the tomato processing. So, even if we have the in-house, basically we are trying to expand our in-house capacity and less dependency on the contract manufacturing. But the way the brands are showing growth in next 3 years, I think we need to continue the contract manufacturing. We just can't reduce that. However, there is some in-house capacity expansion is going on, which will give us around 15,000 to 20,000 metric ton additional capacity from next year. In-house.
This is only tomato processing or overall?
Annual, it's overall. Mango plus tomato.
Okay. And what are we spending for this?
It will be around, it's under final negotiation, but it should be within 25 crores.
Okay. And just quick clarification, the pulp. Mango plus non-mango is 85% of the revenue, the remaining 15% will be the B2C, which is Kusum plus Tetarika plus Madhu and the other brand. Is my understanding correct?
No. B2B today will be, say, 95%. B2C is 5%. Maybe less than 5%. We have just started B2C, so it will take time. So, I think the way beverage industry is going in India, our B2B sale is going in a phenomenal pace. So, to match that pace for the B2C is a real challenge, but yes, our focus is on B2C too. So, we are not seeing what is the overall percentage in our B2B and B2C, but we are focusing on the absolute terms, that how much will be our B2C in next 5 years. So, that is the way we are working on it. So, basically, as a company, we would like to grow in B2B as well as B2C in both.
Okay, I'm so great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rashmik Oza from 9 Days Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. One was on the CapEx. If you can just guide us, what will be the total CapEx in this fiscal year, next fiscal year, and how is the funding done for that?
So the total CapEx should be around 40 to 50 crores, and the CapEx is already funded in the form of equity that we have raised as such. Unless we want to do something else with respect to opportunities that we are evaluating in the market.
Okay. And for next fiscal year, what could be the CapEx for FY25?
So, next fiscal year, we haven't planned on any CapEx except for the spray drying part of it, or the tomato processing part of it that we'll do.
Okay. And the 40-50 crore CapEx, actually, you know, so can just quantify what could be the contribution in terms of revenue coming from this CapEx?
Minimum revenue mix that we are actually looking at is the asset turnover around 3x minimum. So that's our ballpark thumb rule when we evaluate any project.
Okay. And a small clarification, this PLI benefit of 9.71 crore,
right?
This is, will come in reflecting the Q2 numbers, right?
Correct.
Okay. And for this year, what kind of PLI benefits we could, that we will filing and which will come next fiscal year?
So roughly around 20 odd crores. And we expect that to come by end of March 2024.
Okay, this year it will be able to come in, you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're expecting that, but I mean, I cannot commit anything with respect to what we can get from the government, right?
Okay. And since, you know, there is a little bit of uncertainty, and since Q1 we had a lower tonnage, but revenue was very strong, any guidance you would like to give for this fiscal year? What kind of revenue guidance or growth you're looking in this fiscal year on the revenue side?
I'll just let my CEO answer this directly. The realization and the sales growth that we are expecting.
Realization, as I told you, on the mango side, some mango variety realization will be higher, some mango variety realization will be lower. But volume, we are expecting to go around 15 to 20% in annualized basis.
Okay. So for Q1, we did revenue of around 283 crores. For full year, it will be what could be the total revenue for the full year we are looking at, and if you have any guidance?
Difficult for us, as my colleague Anand has already communicated, that we are having the confirmed order. Now it depends how the customer takes every quarter or every month. So that estimation will be difficult at this stage. But I think as a company, we are in a right space on the revenue growth. I think after Q2 only we'll be in a better position to tell you what will be the our estimated annual volume.
Okay. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sriram R, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks again for the opportunity. Just want some clarification on the capacity. You said 300 metric ton per day.
300,000 metric ton annually. 3 lakh metric ton annually.
Okay, 3 lakhs annual. Okay, and what is the split between mango and toxin?
Mango is around 80%, non-mango is around 20%.
Okay. And sir, just one thing, you know, in the last 5 years, your operating cash flow on the aggregate is still negative. Your debt levels are at 350 crores. Like, I just want to know, what is your plan to improve cash flow and deliver the benefits?
Even though me telling this that we should be looked upon as an NBFC is not the right route, but that's actually the truth of the industry as we speak today. Wherein we serve as the bankers for the larger brands, wherein we help during the peak mango season and store inventory for them, and the call-off happens at any point of time during the year as well. So, in effect, we are holding money for them and we lend to them, right? So, most of the banks and banks and NBFCs have an operating cash flow which is negative. Having said that, other things that you need to, take note is basically last year the raw material prices were much on the higher end as compared to what the normal season was. Because of which, our investment into our working capital was also much higher because we hold inventory for them. But as
we enter into this particular year, we have seen the raw material prices coming down for at least the Kotapuru, which contributes a lot to our volume. And we can actually expect the operating cash flow to be positive this year.
And sir, regarding the debt levels, do we expect to stay at 3-3?
No, with the increased production, obviously the working capital debt has to go up.
Okay, okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to the next.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rushir Silarka from Pioneer Wealth.
Hello. Congratulations, sir, for the good result. Hello.
Thank you, Rushir.
Yeah, so my question is that, you know, we have seen an increase in finance cost. So is it like due to that we have to borrow to make, like, as our working capital days were higher?
The question is that, as we mentioned, that our overall production for this year is higher, much higher than last year. So it's a working capital intensive business. Basically, you have to produce 80% of your revenue within 3 months' time. So you need cash for that. So that is the reason why the overall interest cost has increased. But it will, I mean, if you see the annualized basis, it will come down. I mean, percentage will be more, quite moderate.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Neeraj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, I wanted to know regarding the deferred revenue that you have talked, sorry, deferred warrants that you have talked about recently. So that is deferred or that is cancelled?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Deferred relates to what?
The warrants you said, recently you announced warrants and now it is in back burner now. So we wanted to check, so will you come with another equity raising plan going forward if some opportunity comes, or we should not expect any more dilution apart from the ones which are already issued, the warrants which are issued in December 2022?
So ideally, we have no plans as of now, so it's too early for us to commit. We were looking at an opportunity which did not materialize, because of which we had to pull out on the equity warrants that we were contemplating to put up. But having said that, it depends upon any good opportunity that comes up in the market which will actually add value to all of us.
Okay. And you mentioned in last call, sir, that you plan to raise stakes somehow. So any color can you give on that?
I didn't understand your question. Can you repeat, please?
Sir, in last call you mentioned that low promoter holding, you are looking at various options. So any concrete plan on that side, sir?
Yeah, Milan Dhanan here. So plans, definitely we still have a year to go until, not a year, but until June of next year. So yes, there are some plans, and at an appropriate time, the announcement will be made.
Okay, so just want to check, will it be dilutive or not, those plans?
So as of now, basically, with respect to dilution, it cannot happen, because even if one promoter sells, the other promoter cannot actually invest into the company, at least through a dilutive method or a preferential warrant method. So it is definitely, it could be non-dilutive or whatever, it depends upon the circumstances.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashutosh Garud from Ambit Wealth PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Hi. So you mentioned having 40-50% in some client and 10-20%. So in some other client's market share. So who would be your competitor?
Zen Irrigation is one of our largest competitors in the listed space.
Sorry? Zen Irrigation and?
So in the unlisted space, we have, there was the erstwhile Capricorn, which has been bought over by the some player called VM Foods. They have been bought over to NCLT. But apart from them, there are a few others. One is ABC Fruits in the unlisted space. Second is Gala Fruits, which is there. Third is Exotic.
Okay. Thanks. That is very good information. So, on the revenue breakup, just wanted to understand when you say 80-85% is from Mango Pearl, I mean, there are some business segments which you have mentioned in your press release or presentation. So, this fruit and vegetable pearl would be the one where it you would be having 80-85% of the revenues coming from. Is that a fair assumption?
So the entire pulping division would have slightly more, say around 85-88. But in FY23, if I'm not wrong, we ended up with mango pulp at around 82%. In FY22, the same mango pulp was at 78%. So, the idea is to actually not degrow that business, but we are seeing a lot of tailwinds with the mango pulping business because of which the whole business is growing. Yes. We want to diversify.
So the rest of the segment, like spray, dyed powders, frozen food, that will all contribute to the balance 15% is what I understand.
Right, that's right.
Oh, great. And on the client front, so basically your entire pulping production would be supplied to the FMCG guys. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, the branded guys.
Okay. And is there any unorganized sector from your competition in this particular segment? Would there be a large share of unorganized players operating into this, or will this fairly organized amongst 4 to 6?
Majorly organized, but yes, unorganized also there. Who processes and then players are there. I think, yeah, I do not have the exact data, but from my understanding, I can say you in unorganized 20%+ is unorganized, 80% is organized sector.
Okay. And what was this market share which you mentioned as far as Coca Cola being 40-50%? What was, let's say, this market share 4 years back, 3 years back?
Okay. 4 to 3 years back, maybe around 20%. Half.
Okay. Thanks. That is helpful. And capacity, if I got your, if I understood correctly, you are having 300,000 metric tons, 3 lakh metric tons annually, right? Right between mango and non-mango, 80-20%, right?
Exactly on that, because told that revenue basis on the 80-20, but the volume basis, I don't think that is the correct figure, because some of the volume has a low yield value, some of the products with a high realizable value. So, it's a good question. Must be ready on that. So, give me some, I'll come back to you on this.
Sure. Just to understand, out of this 300,000, last question, 300,000 metric tons, what would be the utilization levels currently we are at?
During the season time, we run 3 shifts. Almost 20 hours per day.
Okay. So, let me put it the other way around. From a crushing angle, what would be the maximum, what would be the utilization levels? Like we did some 27,000 to 30,000 sales tonnage for this particular quarter. What would be the maximum tonnage we can do?
In a quarter or in a day?
In a year.
In a year, it depends. It's a seasonal industry, you know. If based on the capacity, if throughout the year, raw material available, we can crash up to, say, 15 lakh metric tons. But, other than mango, there is no other food available like mango in a large way. So that's why you have to restrict ourselves on 3 lakh tons only.
So whole idea of us actually diversifying into a few other fruits and vegetables was to say, as we already optimally utilize our existing capacities. So during the non-mango season, to absorb our fixed overheads is why we actually got into the other products as such. So it's totally dependent on the fruit availability or the vegetable availability during a particular season, and the capacities are extremely tough to actually quantify as such. But having said that, it's on a ton per hour basis is what we actually, the capacities are defined, which might not be of too much of use to you.
That is interesting. So what I understand is your production is seasonal, but the revenue recognition isn't, because you have, you can store the material and sell as per the demand throughout the year.
It's not as per the demand. Basically, during the season itself, there are contracts which are fixed, which are 12 to 15 months long as such. And there are the larger brands, as we serve most of the Fortune 500 companies around the world, there are no cases wherein we see callback of the promised orders as such.
Thank you, sir. That is very helpful. Thank you. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rashmik Oza from 9 Days Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up, sir. I wanted to understand on some spices, you know, we had some setback because of pesticides in the exports one. Going forward, you know, what is the trajectory we should look at in terms of business coming from Kusum spices for this fiscal year and maybe next 2 to 3 years?
But to mitigate this risk factor in the export market, what we are doing is, we are expanding our export business to other countries also. Like Kusum so far, majorly an export only is in Oman market. So Oman has having a lot of restriction on the pesticides, whereas the other parts of the world is not so so strict on this pesticide. So we are expanding our business. Moreover, we are expanding our business in the local domestic market also. So we see, feel that in next 3 years time, Kusum can be around 3x or 4x. That is the plan we are having.
If you could quantify in terms of revenue size and contribution that can come from Kusum in the next 3 years?
It should be around in 3 years total, or you are talking about in the 3rd year, what should be the contribution?
3rd year.
In 3rd year, no?
Yeah.
So it should be around 1.6.
Our first target is to actually make Kusum a 100 crore brand. That's the first target that we have internally. Whether it gets achieved in the 2nd year or 3rd year or 4th year is something that we are trying to plan as of now. So we wouldn't want to give you any commitments which you can actually hold me against.
That is fair. That is fair. And the last question is, if you can just, you know, quantify how much does Coke and individually Coke and Pepsi account for the total revenue on an annual basis?
So, FY24, Coke had a share of around 40 to 42% of our total revenues, and Pepsi had around a share of around 8 to 10% approximately.
8 to 10%. Okay. And beyond these two, who are the next 2-3 large customers of the company?
There are guys globally, brands globally like Boyron, Finrise, and a few others, Dolar, all these guys contribute to our total. So top 10 contribute to around 60 to 65% of our total revenue.
Okay, that is helpful. Thanks, Chakan. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask questions. The next question comes from the line of Avinash Nahata from Parami Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so I have 2 questions. Number one, what is the, since we are coming to the end of the season currently, so what is our average procurement price of the mango crop versus the last year? While you have mentioned Totapuri is half, Malpanzo is 20%, 18% higher. On a ballpark, what is our procurement price as compared to the last year?
Alfonso would be, procurement will be around this year, overall, 55 rupees average.
Malaji, overall.
Overall? Overall, yes. I may not be able to tell you, well, just like that. It depends on quantity. It has to be a weighted average. That weighted average data may not be available in the other, as of now.
So while we do not want the exact number, but you still would have a hang of it since the procurement for the current year is also complete. But on a ballpark basis,
I think it will be another few days, maybe 3-4 days still.
Abhilash, just to add to what you just said, the point is it doesn't make sense for us to even look at the data that way, basically because what we calculate is gross margin per product, right? So we never look at what is the weighted average of all the procurement that we have done. We price our products individually depending upon what the procurement price of a particular product is, and then we price it. And having said that, it is slightly a sensitive data for us to actually share on a con call, basically because we don't want our competitors or our customers to know that.
No, so while I agree that it's gross margin per kg per ton basis, but what it impacts is basically stock and our investment into the stock. So it gives us, as an investor, it gives us a sense whether we are higher by 20% or lower by 20%. Any which way?
I didn't understand what you said. Can you please repeat?
I'm saying our procurement price will determine how much investment is going into the stock for the next 15 months.
Correct.
Okay, great. So that was the idea of asking, not for the P&L profitability, not for, at a gross margin level.
Right. So, I mean, since the raw material prices are lower this year, obviously our investment would be lower. But having said that, our volumes have gone up, which will actually increase the total inventory levels as such. So, maybe not a like-to-like thing for you to actually conclude that, but having said that, it will also help us create positive operating cash flow.
No, I got it. I got it that volume is up and the price is lower. What I am not getting is magnitude.
So, we might not be able to give you that standard answer.
Okay, fair enough. Now, my second question is, like the last year procurement which happened from March 22 to August 22, it is effectively getting consumed till December 13, ballpark, next 15 months. So, whatever our procurement price, this is a question around pricing. So whatever is our procurement price, the average procurement price from, while you might have different covenants with different customers based on offtake or whatever, but my question is, whatever we have procured in the last year, will the pricing stay for the next 15 months for that entire procurement?
Yes, the prices are fixed after inventory season. So whatever I crush this season, the prices are going to be fixed for that particular inventory over the demand which is actually committed.
So so there from a B2B business, there will not be any lag, koi quarter mein lag nahi hoga. Ki, some quarter the, just to take an example, let's say this year the procurement price is low. So the costs which we are building in right now are at a lower price, and what we are realizing is based on what we have agreed with the customer for the last year's produce. So that lag will not be there, you are saying.
Correct. It depends upon which inventory we are supplying to that particular investor. So, to the customer as such.
Yeah, so that is correct. So on a FIFO basis, whatever inventory is getting consumed and supplied, so it will depend on that.
Correct. It's a complete pass-through for us.
So you are saying there will be no lag in terms of where the profit is compressed in some quarter and it gets expanded in some quarter?
So it depends upon the inventory pricing, right, of a particular year's inventory. So, I mean, whenever that particular year's inventory is consumed, the prices will differ, the margins will differ. It's about the commitment and the production that you have done.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. So we'll take one last question because we are closing in on 6:30. So,
the final question comes from the line of Neeraj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to once again confirm the crushing part is 40% higher than last year, and volume guidance is 15-20%. Sales growth spike this year.
So, crushing is 40% higher, that is for sure. Sales growth, as I told you, as it depends upon the call-off. I mean, there is no case wherein a commercial demand is actually not taken up by any of the larger players as such. So, we will not be able to exactly quantify on the sales growth, even though we are more positive, but then the crushing has happened and you have to sell that, and it's based on the orders that we have received.
Okay. So demand, demand expectation or the demand figure that you've got is more than 20%, right?
Correct, correct. That's right.
Okay.
So more than around 40%, because of this we have actually crushed 40%.
On a more generic way, the consumption story in India is growing at a very fast pace, so we should be able to take advantage of it.
Alright, so we can expect even 30-40% in blue sky scenario for the year.
Sorry?
On a blue sky scenario, we can even expect 30% to 40% sales growth or volume growth.
It will not happen, but it will not only come off.
Okay. Right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, this was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Krishnan, the CFO, for closing comments.
Thank you, Chelvin. I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the investors for their unwavering support and trust in our organization. I hope we have been able to answer most of your questions satisfactorily. Should you need any further clarifications or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you once again.
On behalf of Foods Inc. Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.